So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Trevor Lawrence went from liking pro football. He loves it, and it's it's really fun to see. And man, if Buffalo can get by this, Kate, this might be the hardest test they could have in the playoffs. I really believe that. Jacksonville, big, powerful, tough, hard-coached against a team that really relies a little more on speed, smaller, everything like that. So it's really an interesting game. But I'm just going to go there and say if I had to pick a winner, I'm taking Jacksonville.
All right, put it on the board, baby. Put it on the board. Put it on the bulletin board. There it is. Chris Sims and his pick for – was that Chris Sims or was it Phil? Was that Phil? It sounded like Phil. Okay, thank you. I thought so. I thought when you said Phil, and then my brain went to Chris, but it sounded like Phil. Okay, there you go. Chris, of course, is the son of Phil. But anyway, put it on the bulletin board. There you go. Phil Sims picking the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Buffalo Bills. I do agree, though. It's a tough matchup. It's a 1-point spread. And if the Bills do win this game, I think I could find my way to saying, okay, the other team they play next week, Denver, Houston, Pittsburgh. I know Houston. Going to Houston would be a tough matchup for them. But you could find your way to different ways you like it better for different reasons than this one. But you got to go take care of business first. We'll get to Paul Hamilton in a moment on the Sabres. We'll get to Sean McDermott on the injury front on a Friday. And then we're going to get to Pat Hammer at the bottom of the hour on Jacksonville weather. But first, let's go out to Derek, who's been waiting from Boston. Hi, Derek.
Sal, how are you? Always a pleasure listening to you. I definitely feel like taking care of business this week would be big. The one thing that I did like about Brian Daboll was when we did come to the playoffs, I always felt like there was a wrinkle in that offense, some sort of different plays that we hadn't seen that all of us were like, whoa, where'd that come from? But I just don't want it to – we can't take another heartbreaker. We've had so many heartbreakers. You know, you feel the same way. We just can't take another heartbreaker. I know they have such a great kicker. I'd hate to see the last possession. All they need is 20 yards, and this guy kicks his crazy kick. But hopefully not. Go Bills. And I also just wanted to share, last week, my wife and I and our little guy and our two moms, we actually went up to Buffalo for the last game, and I'm so glad I did that. I know the game didn't mean much, but my wife was like, you should go because you're going to regret not going. And it was unbelievable. Honestly, it was such a good time. We had a great tailgate. Great experience. Just wanted to share that. And go Bills. Let's make this the year.
You got it. Yeah, Derek, great story. Glad you shared that. I'm glad you got to go to the game. Really cool. We'll see if Joe Brady has anything up his sleeve. Joe Brady, by the way, news this morning, the Ravens have reportedly requested an interview with Joe Brady for their head coach position. Let's go to Gino up next. Hi, Gino.
Phil, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
But I feel confident about this week. But the reason I'm calling is, you know, the last 20 years, the Patriots and the Chiefs have killed teams with their tight end and slot receivers. You know, Brady did it with Edelman and Gronk. Mahomes did it with Kelce. You know, we have Kincaid, Knox, Shakir. And I feel like we just don't use them to their ability all the time. I feel like this weekend, if we can just, you know, bang those 5-6 yard passes, and then I think that's the way we're going to win the game.
Yeah, well, listen, I like that a lot because there are some numbers that show that the Jags defense is good, but tight ends, middle of the field is where they've kind of had some issues this year at times. Dalton Kincaid's been big for the Bills this year, there's no doubt as well. And I like the fact, I never told you earlier what I liked about Josh. Josh said he did self-scouting over the week that he was off. Joe Brady said, you're not playing, do some self-scouting. And the way he said, he's like, man, I look and go, I stink or something like that, because he was missing so many guys and didn't take the free checkdowns and didn't take the easy money. And I think you might see a little bit more of that this week. And I like that. I like that he's thinking that way, because playoff football, you got to take what's given to you sometimes. You can't make that mistake. And that's the challenge in front of the Bills. Paul Hamilton joins us right now here on the Western Hotline, just off a plane and a flight from New York City, where the Sabres beat the New York Rangers last night. And the Sabres continue on a roll. They are now in a playoff position. Paul, another really, really solid night last night for the Buffalo Sabres, from penalty kill and shorthanded goals to goaltending, blocking shots. It's really starting to feel like it's coming together like an actual good hockey team, if I can say that.
You know what I think is to like about the game, believe it or not, is the third period. And you might say, well, it didn't go real well in the third period as far as, you know, the Rangers really came on and really poured it on. They score 51 seconds into the period to make it 3-2. Next thing you know, the shots are 11-0, and the Sabres can't get out of their end. But I think the reason I like it is because you saw a lot of adversity. This team has never handled adversity very well until now. And, all right, you have the adversity, and Colton Ellis said himself he'd want that goal back that he gave up 51 seconds into the period. So you give up a goal like that, now it's 3-2. Now the Rangers are all over you. They're throwing the kitchen sink at you. And, you know, your goaltender's hanging in there. You're hanging in there, though. It's still 3-2. You know, so you face that adversity. Then you take that penalty. The Sabres just can't seem to get out of their game late in the third period. Peyton Krebs, a double minor for high sticking. There's a little over 5 minutes left to go in regulation. Now there's more adversity that you're going to have to face. You're basically going to have to kill penalties the rest of the period with a one-goal lead. Well, that only took, what, about 20 seconds or so to alleviate that problem, because the Sabres come down. They score that shorthanded goal. What a shot that was by Samuelson, getting it by the ear hole of Jonathan Quick's face mask and under the crossbar for a goal. He looked like he was in too far, but obviously he wasn't. And now you've got a 4-2 lead. Again, you have faced down adversity. You know, that was there for you, and you easily could have lost that game. And you know what, Sal? I bet last year they would have lost that game 9 out of 10 times.
And maybe the Vancouver game, too, by the way. Maybe the Vancouver game, the way things started going in the third period.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So they seem now to be able to handle adversity and kind of just look it in the eye and say, okay. And they found a way to leave that arena with 2 points and a victory when it looked like the Rangers were starting to take over the game. The first 40 minutes, Sabres did real well. I thought Ellis looked great. I thought, they got on the board first in the first period and took the 2-0 lead. Once they got the lead, which was like 4 minutes into the game, they never relinquished the lead. They held it throughout. And I think we're seeing a maturity of this team, that it has grown up, because there was a lot of, you know, hand-wringing after that Columbus game. How can you lose to the Blue Jackets? This is, you know, it's like, well, yeah, they just did win 10 in a row, you know.
Yeah, I know.
They're
right?
Not going to win 50 in a row. But to me, that Columbus game, and I said it then, really didn't mean a whole lot. You know what's going to mean something is the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? How are you going to respond to this loss? All right, you had a bad day. How are you going to respond to that? Well, they responded with 2 wins. You know, they go out and beat Vancouver. They go into New York and beat the New York Rangers. To me, that's the response you need. That's what winning teams do. Every team's going to have a bad game, except maybe Colorado. But every team is going to have a bad game. It's how you respond to that bad game. And, you know, I'm rather impressed that you responded by 2 victories.
Paul, what has been the secret for Matias Samuelson to be unlocked this year like this?
Sometimes it takes defensemen longer, and that's why I caution people with Owen Power. Although I think Owen Power has actually played better in the last X amount of games, however many you want to say. Everybody wants to give up on guys too early. And Samuelson was one. People wanted to buy him out. And it's like, well, that's a bad idea. If you bought him out before this season, he's on your books for 10 years. Bad idea. You know, even if, if he doesn't improve or whatever. But I think, I hate to say it, maybe the best thing to happen to him was when Thompson got hit and there was no response.
Mm.
I mean, I wondered if he could even come back from that in the locker room for that happening. And he has more than come back from it. Yeah. And look at the way that the toughness he plays with. Something that Lindy Ruff, ever since he's gotten here, has tried to convince him. Use your size. Use your strength. I don't care if you fight. That's not what we're talking about here. And he has been much more physical this year, on top of the good play, on top of adding offense to what is good defense, killing plays and those types of things. So he just seems to be brimming with confidence. But You know, just the fact that he's willing to use his size, willing to knock people down, and you don't have to drill people through the back wall. But if you use your size and strength, you can win a lot more battles, and I think he's doing that.
Jason Zucker returns to the lineup. How important is he to this team? They win a couple of games. Of course, they had the 10-game winning streak. He wasn't really on the team, on the ice for any of that. But how important is he? We saw the goal last night as well.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, he missed 10 games and then won them all.
I know.
He's like, okay, I guess you don't need me. But look at the power play. The power play hadn't scored in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's where he's supposed to be. And you know in sports how you got to make your own breaks, because you say to yourself, how come the other team always gets these breaks in front of the net, but the Sabres never get those garbage goals or whatever? Well, that's because winning teams know how to be around the net. And in order to get a break, to go in off a skate or whatever, you got to be there. You can't be on the perimeter. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer in you make your breaks. Well, the goal went in off his back. Great. That's a lucky goal. I understand that. But it doesn't go in off his back if he's not where he's supposed to be. If he's on the perimeter or someplace else other than in front of the net when Dahlin winds up with that shot, the shot doesn't come back, hit him in the back, and go in the net. So that's what I talk about when I think good teams make their own breaks, because they're where they're supposed to be. And if you're where you're supposed to be, then pucks might go in off a leg, or they might go in off a skate, or they might go in off your back, or, you know, things like that. And Jason Zucker is the epitome of that. He knows where he's supposed to be on the power play. And a power play that hadn't scored in 8 games, his second game back, guess who gets the power play goal? Jason Zucker.
The Sabres also really doing a great job at killing penalties. Number 2 in the league this year, Paul. They get, obviously, a nice goal last night from Ryan McLeod. Alex Tuch, one of the best penalty killers in the league. How about that aspect of the game, and what's been the difference this year?
Those two are so good as a pair. It reminds the older folks in the audience of Don Luce and Craig Ramsey,
the pair
that they were back in the 70s when they were up for the Selkie, and they were just – I don't know if the Sabres have seen a pair like that since those two. And McLeod and Tuch definitely qualify for that. And just the epitome of McLeod. We don't sit here and talk about empty net goals. That was desire and the willingness to win.
Put that on a film and go show every young hockey player.
He missed the net.
Yep.
But what did he do? He turned the Jets on like he was shot out of a cannon, because he wanted to win that hockey game.
Yep.
He wanted it more than the Rangers, who actually were ahead of him if they would have just hustled a little bit. He just took off, hustled, got to the puck first, and got the easy empty net goal. That's a guy who wants to win hockey games right
there.
Love it.
And
that's the kind of effort we're seeing from this team right now.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, let's get to a couple injury updates. I think Lyon and Kesselring are the only ones I have here that I know that are on IR right now. And then there's the Kulik update that Lindy Ruff gave, so we can run through those.
Yeah, Kulik really is not on the ice or anything. And when you're dealing with blood clots, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I think they got to dissolve, and you just don't know when that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't really do a whole lot physically. And still isn't.
He's still hoping, I guess, that they play, but there's no real clarity on that yet, right?
Yeah. Okay. They're hoping to get him back by the end of the year, but you just don't know. Alex Lyon, Lindy said before they left for New York, 7 to 10 days. So I guess that would be 5 to 8 days right now, because that was 2 days ago. So, you know, he's getting there. And Kesselring, he was hoping to get him on the ice. Now they're off today, but he could still be down at the arena getting on the ice. But they were hoping to get him on the ice by the end of the week. So we'll see. I doubt very much, since he hasn't been in a practice, that he would play tomorrow. But you may see him in the morning skate tomorrow. You know, we'll have to wait and see. So, and of course, as you know, Danforth had the broken kneecap that he got 4 games into the season. So, I have no idea. I'm not used to broken kneecaps when I'm talking about injuries, so I have no idea how long that takes.
And tomorrow night should be fun at the arena with the Bills playing the next day. The Ducks are in town, a team that, you know, it's a team that you can have, very beatable team, I guess you'd say. They're having a decent season, but, you know, it's going to be really energetic in the arena on a Saturday night. Before I get to Sean McDermott, and I let go of you, Paul, here, didn't get a chance to ask you, last week about your memories inside Highmark Stadium. If you have one you want to share, maybe your first game, maybe a game over the years where you covered a Bills game or something like that.
You know what it is for me? It was the very first Winter Classic.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
Where I'm down on the next to the glass as we're broadcasting. I just wish I would have seen more Sabre goals. If they lose 5-4, that would have been great. I think the fans, but they only had one goal, but the sound. And you know this because you're down there. But this is something that I didn't realize, the sound that comes down when they scored that goal was just amazing. It was an amazing experience. Probably the best thing that I've done in my career is to cover the Winter Classic down there. And I've also talked about a lot of concerts that I've seen down there when I was younger. The Stones, The Who, Peter Frampton, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, we can always all talk about the Bills, and there's plenty of ones I remember them. Even one that people don't talk about. I remember the Hail Mary to Roland Hooks against the New England Patriots was a memory. You know, I remember Ahmad Rashad back when I was a kid in junior high school on Monday Night Football catching a slant to win a game. You know, when I'm thinking maybe it might have been the first Monday Night game. I'm not sure. But still, you know, something like that. So I kind of went deeper in the memory bank because, of course, the comeback against the Oilers, we all know that.
Right.
But I was trying to go deeper in the memory bank.
And how about this? Let me ask you this: what about your first playoff game? Remember, mine is the 81 wild card at Shea. Wow, Bill Simpson, the interception. What's your first Bills playoff memory?
Oh, I would go back to the Steelers in the 70s. As I said, I was back junior high school, maybe grade school back then.
Yeah.
You know, so even, you know, when some of the earlier ones, now I didn't go back to War Memorial Stadium in those games, but, O.J. Simpson, of course, I remember O.J. Mm-hmm. Simpson. So anything past that, would have been, you know, I didn't get to go to a lot of games, maybe one a year sometimes, maybe not. But, so I wasn't in the stadium a lot early on in life, but, as it went on, and then the last time I was at a Bills game in the stands, I would have been in college. I kind of figured that out. I was sitting there for a concert going, when was the last time I was in these stands? And I thought, it was college, the last time I was in the stands for a Bills game at home.
Real quick, Paul, I did forget, I want to ask you real quick, some buzz yesterday about the Sabres possibly in discussions or part of the mix to host the 2026 draft. Is that right?
Yeah, the Sabres weren't commenting on that, but I have talked to some people about that, and what John Butchergrass was reporting is correct. They're trying to get it. Now, it's not the draft that everybody's thinking, you know, where all the teams are there and the tables and all that. It would be like what it was last year where the players are there.
Okay.
But the teams are still, like the Sabres are still probably at the stadium. So the players were there, and they'd come up on stage and shake Gary Bettman's hands. And then they did those awkward Zooms with the teams after that.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be – that's what it would be, is because that was in Los Angeles where the players were. So the players would be around and be introduced and go up on stage and get their jersey, but the teams would not be there.
The decentralized draft, that's right. Okay, Paul, we're going to let you go. Sean McDermott's going to come up here shortly on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Have a great weekend tomorrow night.
You
Sabres
too.
Ducks, 7 o'clock, and Paul will be all over it at PHAM1717 on X. Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy Jacksonville.
All right, thank you very much. Paul Hamilton right there, and it is a Buffalo Football Friday, so we're going to talk more football again. We had to squeeze in the Sabres, though. They won 10 in a row. They lose a game. They win two more. So what? They won 12 out of the last 13, and they're in a playoff spot right now. They got a game tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks at home 18 hours before the Bills kick off in Jacksonville against the Jaguars on Sunday. And, of course, this is a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. We will take a timeout quickly here. And when we come back, we'll have Bills head coach Sean McDermott give us the Friday injury report and game status of any players who aren't going to play Sunday in their wild card matchup in Jacksonville.